from SLB Radio in Pittsburgh, Crossing Fences. African-American boys and young men creating oral history showcasing the lives and accomplishments of local African-American men.
Pittsburgh was good for me all the way around. I never miss a beat.
I was born and raised in Belle Suver.
Money don't make a happy man.
I wasn't born in
a happy man can go and make some money.
The fact that we had to go to black schools, couldn't eat in a restaurant.
And I shine with my mind, and I stay on my grind.
From anesthesiologists to barbershop owners, entrepreneurs to engineers, and coaches to deacons, over 170 men have been interviewed. Today, let's hear from Reverend Marcus W. Harvey, age 61 at the time of this interview.
I grew up in Homewood, living back and forth through Wilkinsburg, but back then, when we were coming up, I went to West Hills High School. We'd come here and play basketball at the high school here, you know, in Wilkinsburg. I have an older brother. He's about a year and a half older than me. I have a younger sister. I'm the middle child. My mom worked a couple jobs. My dad didn't live there. I didn't meet my dad till after I was 20-something. And even to the day, I don't have a relationship with him because I really don't know him. When my mother was born, her mother died. She had six sisters, so her oldest sister raised her. You know, it's an interesting dynamic. The older I get, the more I realize how much she missed. My focus in high school, to be quite frank with you, I like to draw a lot. I was an artist, you know. I still draw today. You know, I like to do stuff in the community. Back then, they had a program called CAP, and it was an after-school program. We did all type of stuff like clean yards, go out and, you know, work in the community, help senior citizens. And they paid us a certain amount of money, even after we got out of high school. I mean, like, if we go to school all day and we go up to CAP and do stuff to help people in the community. My connections today, ran a nonprofit called Strength Incorporated, helped homeless people. I ran, created programs in the jails, programs that dealt with recidivism and reentry. I was really concerned with people coming back out of institutions, coming back into the neighborhoods, doing the same old thing with put them in jail. One of the concepts, I had to go into jail and work with them. Treatment centers, I brought a major employer here, Pyramid Healthcare Services. They dealt with treatment, drug and alcohol, mental health. Working in the community, all the way from Wilkinsburg, all the way to the White House as a congressional fellow for faith-based initiatives throughout the United States. Being a voice for the voiceless. Well, right now, I'm an ordained pastor, reverend. I was a Marine. Then I became a police officer. And after becoming a police officer, I became an Allegheny County deputy sheriff. Then after becoming a deputy sheriff, I picked up the book. I oversee the agency right now that I'm downsizing. It's called Strength Incorporated. I am the CEO, the chief executive officer, and the founder. You could have never told me I would be at the White House in the United States Senate. What I did was grassroots agencies in the community. I helped start a lot of agencies, minority-based agencies that help people. One of the greatest goals I had, it was called the Homeward Brushing Collaborative, when we pulled all the different minority agencies together. Funders would come in and put money on the table, and we would begin to fight over the money. I said, why would we fight over the money? If we come together as a collaborative, then we can put the money where it needs to go. The greatest goal was mentor young guys, you know, telling them the truth, what's really out here. Been to the Million Man March. One of my greatest mentors was Dr. Maya Angelou. She would come here every year, spend time with her, myself and my daughter. God put me in the path of a lot of very powerful people. I guess life was already mapped out for me. You know, there's a saying that said, many are called, but few are chosen. I had a calling on my life. I didn't know that. And the calling was to do God's will, to do his work. That's a difficult calling because it's hard to describe. I found out along the way what it was, you know, and it was about one simple thing, reaching back and helping somebody. When I was called to the ministry, I didn't understand it. I didn't understand what was going on with my spirit on the inside. I'm not the type of preacher that's in a pulpit on a Sunday morning, preaching down on people, this and that. I'm the guy that you're going to see in the alleyways and the byways, picking up the bums, the derelicts, and rolling up my sleeves, getting my hand dirty. And the greatest advice I was given, that we were responsible for our community. You know, we say we need help, but we got to learn how to help ourselves. And also, when it comes to you young guys, you guys got to know that, you know, you see all this gun violence and stuff out there. It's not your fault. It's our generation, my generation, men. We dropped the ball, man. The greatest advice was to pull somebody up, help another guy, help a young guy. Tell them, you know, tell you guys the truth, man, what's really out here. So the worst thing I could ever do is not do nothing.
This oral history was collected by youth interviewers Jaquan Betts and Sam Brown. Crossing Fences is made possible by the Heinz Endowments and was produced by SLB Radio Productions. Learn more at slbradio.org.